Blog Talk Radio.
And in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is indeed his messenger, as I further bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder, leader, teacher, guide, and warner in our midst. And it is my distinct honor, privilege, and pleasure to greet all of you once again in our nation's greeting words of peace. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaikum
salam.
Thank you so much. Well, usually this is a rebroadcast night for Brother Jihad's show, but my dear brother called me today and said he wanted to expound further on the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad as given to us in the 58-week series of The Time and What Must Be Done. And, of course, I just hear and obey. And so I have two of the most profound student ministers, in my humble opinion, in the nation with me tonight. So I am doubly honored to have Student Minister James, who's going to lead us, and Student Minister Stanley Muhammad out of College Park, Georgia, two mighty, mighty power sources and wisdom, and all praises due to Allah for your service, gentlemen and brothers. Thank you for all that you do for our nation, for our people, for our spirits, for our souls, for our person. Thank you for your service in our mighty nation of Islam. And I would like to also greet you all in our nation's greeting words of peace. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum
salam, Queen.
Thank you. Thank you. And neither one of these gentlemen need to be introduced, so let me just have them present themselves. So, Student Minister James, this was your brainchild, so I guess you should go first.
Thank you, dear sister. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, we are forever grateful and thankful to Allah for making his person known and presence known to the most honorable Elijah Muhammad in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, the great Mahdi, and then he, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, making his presence and person known to us all. We thank Allah for raising up his Messiah, the exalted Christ, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, and we can never thank him enough for that one who through the most honorable Elijah Muhammad he fashioned and shaped and prepared for this critical and prophetic hour at which we have arrived. The hour of which I speak is the hour of the judgment of not only the wicked, but also the righteous, and the hour of the establishment of the kingdom of God on earth. And the man of whom I speak is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, the divine warner and representative of those two mighty men, and, of course, the deliverer, the comforter, the reminder, and I refer to him as my personal redeemer. Again, it is my great honor and privilege to greet all of you with the greeting words of peace. We say it in the Arabic language, As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam, sir.
Wa alaykum salam, sir.
And to Brother Stanley, Student Minister Stanley, and to our beloved sister, Queen Aziza Mariam Muhammad, and to the listening audience, but especially to our brother Jihad, who is miraculously healing by the grace of Almighty God Allah, and we look forward to his speedy recovery and restoration to perfect health, and his speedy return to this magnificent forum and show entitled Out on the Front Line with the FOI. My dear brother, if you're listening, and those who are your faithful audience, if they are listening, I want to thank you, dear brother, and I want to thank our beloved sister Queen Aziza Mariam Muhammad for allowing me, in your physical absence, never your spiritual absence, but your physical absence, and allowing me to use this forum to facilitate our carrying out of the instructions of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan that he gave to us in the last episode of the time, and what must be done at the end. In a chiding and admonishing way, he asked, what kind of ministers are you that you will now not take the word and the warning found therein that I have given over these 58 episodes and take that, as the scripture says, to every nation, kindred, and tongue? I, by the grace of Allah, and I'm sure my fellow brother in the student ministry, Brother Stanley Muhammad, is desirous with great passion and great priority to follow the instructions of our teacher, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So it is in that light, and again, in great honor and gratitude to our brother, Jihad Muhammad, and with great gratitude to our sister, Queen Aziza Mariam Muhammad, that we take this opportunity to carry out the instructions of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I want to thank you, all of you, for blessing us with your presence tonight. Thank you again, as I relinquish the microphone to our beloved brother and student minister, Stanley Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir. Well, I would like to start off in the most holy name of Allah, the beneficent, the most merciful. The all-wise, true and living God who appeared to us in divine person, the Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praises are due forever, the Lord of all the worlds. We can never thank him enough for fulfilling his promise to his friend Abraham 5,000 years ago in the book of Genesis chapter 15, verse 13 through 15, when God said, "Know of a surety, Abraham, your seed will be in a strange land which is not theirs, and they will be afflicted for 400 years. After that, I will come and judge that nation which they did serve, and they will come out with great substance and go to their fathers in a ripe old age." Well, only God can say I. I is a ninth letter alphabet, and nine represents completion. Allah is the only complete being in the universe. This people that have been in bondage for 400 years is not the European so-called Jews, but it is a black man and woman who were kidnapped from a strange people, or by a strange people, the Caucasian race, and brought here to the hells of North America, and was in bondage for 400 years. And the evil that they inflicted upon us was so diabolical, so wicked, that it brought God out of his 66-trillion-year-old hiding place to come and deliver us from this horrific affliction. No people ever can claim they had the visitation of God but the black man and woman in America. And so when he came, he worked in Detroit, Michigan, and he raised up a Georgia-born black man, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad.
Come on.
As Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days, so shall the Son of Man work in the heart of the earth, where Detroit, Michigan is called the heartbeat of America. And the heart is left geographically on our body, and the same location where our heart is, that's the same geographical location where Detroit, Michigan is in America. And Master Farad worked 3 years and raised up the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, the exalted Christ. And we thank Allah and his exalted Christ for preparing one in his absence. The most honorable Elijah Muhammad said to the honorable minister Yusuf Farrakhan, who is his national representative, he is his chief disciple, he said, "Brother, Allah made me to take his place among the people, and I'm making you to take mine." So what the most honorable Elijah Muhammad was, Farrakhan is. Now he is the Messiah of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. And I close by saying, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad is like the modern Moses, because the book of Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 18 says, "God in the latter days will raise up a man like unto Moses." That means there must be a condition like the condition of the people called the children of Israel. And there must be a modern Pharaoh. And there must be a helper of that modern Moses named Aaron. And we thank Allah for showing us the power of this man in the book of Exodus chapter 7, starting with the first verse when Jehovah tells Moses, "I'm going to make you a god to Pharaoh and make Aaron your prophet." So the most honorable Elijah Muhammad is a god. And he raised the most honorable Mesut Farrakhan to be his Messiah. So we thank Allah for these wonderful human beings that we will represent or strive to represent to you this evening. As I greet you in peace, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Stanley. Thank you. Thank you so very much, dear brother, for your wonderful opening remarks.
Please,
I mean, I can feel it in your spirit and in the spirit in general that this is going to be a wonderful, wonderful expression and exaltation of the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So thank you again, dear brother, for honoring us with your presence this evening.
Thank you, Brother James, and thank you, Sister Queen. I am truly honored. And both of you are very, very special to me in my life, as you both know. And I thank Allah for both of you who are a wonderful example of striving to be great helpers of that man called the Vicar of Christ, the Honorable Minister Wus Farrakhan. And I am so in love with you both because you're in love with the man who gave us life, the Honorable Minister Wus Farrakhan. So I am honored by both of you allowing me to share the panel with you both.
Oh, that is so wonderful.
All praise due to Allah.
I know personally, Brother Stanley, I'm the one that's honored. So, Brother, thank you. And, you know, the sentiments I share, I love you very much, you and your wife. And thank you all so much for everything you do. So it is me who is honored. Thank you.
Praise be to Allah. Thank you, Sister Queen, very much.
All praise is due to Allah. Well, let's continue. Let's get right into it. By the grace of Allah, a bit of scriptural foundational support and premise for what we're going to discuss this evening. Whenever a person delivers a warning, the response to that warning is contingent upon the source of authority from which that warning comes. Well, then what is the authority of the Honorable Minister Wus Farrakhan? The show and the theme tonight, of course, is the time and what must be done, and the subject matter, of course, is particularly and specifically episode 58. But I asked Sister Aziza if we could theme it the final warning. What is the authority or the authoritative source of the Honorable Minister Wus Farrakhan? Who is the Honorable Minister Wus Farrakhan that he should make such warning? The Honorable Minister Wus Farrakhan shared with us that if we don't see him through the lens of Scripture, then we're not seeing him properly.
That's right.
And so I'd like to go to the book of Ezekiel, the third chapter, the 18th verse, to give some premise, of course, to what the Honorable Minister Wus Farrakhan has been doing all of the days of his Islamic life following the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad to this day. And as that is the premise for his work, we who are his students have that same premise. In Ezekiel, the third chapter, beginning with the 18th verse, we read, "When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die." Well, first of all, let me start with the 17th verse. "Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth, give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. From the second chapter, now looking through the lens of Scripture to identify the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, under the subheading Ezekiel's Commission, his instruction, the role of heavy judgments spread before him, we read, beginning with the first verse in the second chapter. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. Now this parallels the experience that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan had in his more than a vision experience, this revelatory experience wherein he was taken up into the wheel. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said that a small plane at great speed took him to a tremendous height. And as he looked down after achieving that height, he saw the wheel, the pilot, backed into that wheel. And as he backed into that wheel and landed in the wheel, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan states that the pilot escorted him to a room in which the center of the ceiling had a speaker, and he said he heard the voice of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad speaking to him as clearly as hopefully you are now hearing our voice. And as he spoke to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, a scroll of cursive writing rolled down in front of his eyes. But it was actually a projection of what was being written on his mind. Now let's find the parallel scripturally that identifies the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in this same book, Ezekiel. In the third chapter, the first verse we read, Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with the roll that I give thee. Then did I eat, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, Son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them, for thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and of an hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of a strange speech and of a hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. But the house of Israel, the house meaning nation, will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. For all of the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Now, dear brothers and sisters and those of you who are listening, this house or nation of Israel actually is America, in that little nation found over there in Palestine called Israel dictates the actions and the policy, both domestic and foreign, of this so-called mighty nation, Israel. And so Israel in Palestine has implanted itself in a rulership position here in the United States of America. So when we talk about in Scripture the house of Israel or the nation of Israel, we are talking about the United States of America and the children of Israel or the children or the people of the house or nation of Israel is referring to the black man and woman of America. And so you have the parallel. First, with the scroll rolling down in front of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's eyes, but was really a projection of what was being written by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad on his mind. Then you have the parallel of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan being commissioned by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad to go to the black man and woman of America and warn them, let them know of the great commission of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, which was then and now exalted Christ, no longer messenger, no longer Messiah, but exalted Christ, who sits at the right hand of the God, of the Father, executing the will of the Father, Master Farad Muhammad, by the instructions and permission and authority of Master Farad Muhammad. So you have these scriptural parallels which indicate and justify the authority with which the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is delivering this final warning to black people in America, to the President of the United States and his governing staff, and to all of the nations and kingdoms of the world, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And so, after giving that brief scriptural support for the authority of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in his delivering of the final warning, I'm going to turn the mic back over to our dear beloved brother and student minister, Stanley Muhammad. And after he makes his statement or talking point, we will now include and engage our wonderful listening audience. And Brother Stanley, feel free to say what is on your heart, dear brother. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you, Brother James, for that wonderful exegesis of the book of Ezekiel and correlating with our beloved Redeemer, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I would like to highlight that Ezekiel had his vision September the 17th, 592 A.D., and that's the exact date that the Honorable Minister Farrakhan had his vision-like experience in Tepoztlan in Mexico, September 17th, 1985. So here we are looking at, like Brother Student Minister James said, a man who really comes in the volume of the book. As it says in Psalms 40, verse 7, lo, I come in the volume of the book, meaning that he touched the lives of these prophets of God, because in the day of judgment, in the day that God appears to end Satan's rule, every wickedness that took place in every prophet's time will be taking place at the time of judgment, every wickedness. So therefore, in the man of God's character, he has to have the character of Lot to deal with the homosexuality of this time. He has to have the character of Noah to deal with what Noah said in the book of Genesis, or God told Noah in the book of Genesis that every thought of the people was to continually to do evil, and their imagination was wicked. He had to have the characteristic, or has to have the characteristics of Aaron to be a helper of Moses to raise a modern children of Israel who had been enslaved for 400 years and lost their identity to the Egyptians. They had Egyptian names, Egyptian lifestyles. They had their faith and trust in Pharaoh instead of having their faith and trust in Jehovah. So every prophet of God that appeared, they appeared because there was something wrong. And here the Honorable Minister Farrakhan appears in a time where God is present. And so as Brother James pointed out, Ezekiel was a priest that the scholars say they really don't know if he existed or not. He was a very high priest. But he really was a man that was for a future time and speaking to a future people. Ezekiel, his name means God strengthens. God strengthens. And if, when we see the minister, particularly on the time of what must be done, we know it takes great strength to abide in the wisdom of God. It takes great strength to speak on subjects that are taboo. Even in the highest seat of office, the President of the United States of America cannot dare say what the minister is speaking, lest his life be taken. If John F. Kennedy's life was taken, because he actually challenged the shadow government, as Abraham Lincoln's life was taken because he challenged the shadow government. But he is a man that comes from amongst those who were once slaves, and God is strengthening him because his love for Allah, his love for the Christ, his love for his people, his love for humanity, that makes him not fear for his own life. But he fears displeasing God. So as Brother James spoke about in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 2, God tells Ezekiel, stand up on your feet and deliver this message to a rebellious house. Black people in America, we have become a rebellious people. And in this book of Ezekiel, it describes us as scorpions. It doesn't even give us the characteristic of a human, but it gives us the characteristic of an insect that is very poisonous, has, you know, very cunning and wicked characteristics. And that's who this man Ezekiel was set among. And now we have a man like Farrakhan who is set among a rebellious people. Why? Because we have adopted the rebellion of our former slave master. Everything he does, we want to do. So that's what makes his job so hard. And so I don't want to go ahead of what wonderful student minister Brother James have already trailblazed and laid the first foundation of what we want to discuss. But I want to really, you know, lift my voice with his as a chorus and just give some context on this high priest called Ezekiel. See, Ezekiel, he received his prophetic calling in Babylon. which Babylon represents America. You can break it down. Babylon, the prefix is baby. Lon, L-O-N, that's the prefix for London. Well, England released all of her criminals and con artists because her jails were overfilled with these kind of cutthroat people, but they wanted to break away from England. So this country, America, was produced by England, Babylon, and the Bible calls it mystery Babylon. But Ezekiel did not deliver his message in Babylon. He went to Jerusalem to deliver his message. And Jerusalem in this hour is Washington, D.C. And Farrakhan, he went to Washington, D.C. to deliver the message. What he received on the wheel as a warning, as an admonishment to get the blood, as Brother James so beautifully and eloquently spoke, get the blood of the wicked off of his hands and deliver his soul. So I just want to stop there and just share that to bear witness to what our beloved student minister James said. The Honorable Minister Farrakhan is fulfilling these scriptures, in the book of Ezekiel. And also I want to highlight Ezekiel chapter 16, especially, where the Son of Man was placed in a valley of dry bones. And God told the Son of Man to prophesy unto these dry bones. Now this is talking about Ezekiel specifically going to a people that had been destroyed, who have died because they have been under a wicked slave master. They don't know their names. They don't have their own original tongue or language. They don't have their own culture. Or we, all of us, as black people in America. And we don't know our God. We don't have our original religion. So whenever a people is cut off from its roots, they're dead. When a tree is cut off from its root, it's dead. And we as black people in America have been cut off from our roots. But a son of man named Farrakhan has a hard job to prophesy to us. It's like going to the graveyard and telling Johnny to get up. People riding by might look at you like you crazy. Johnny ain't getting up. Johnny is dead. And like telling that brother who's been on crack for 10 years, 20 years, who's been a robber and a thief all of his life. And a man comes to you, like Farrakhan, comes to a dry bone and tells them, choose life, choose the will of God and live. Forbear this message and die. And when the dry bones, they rattled, but they didn't come together. And the Son of Man went back to God and said, Lord, the bones are rattling. They clapping, they hooping, they hollering. They're taking me as an entertainer, but they're not coming together. And the Lord, Elijah Muhammad,
come on, brother. Go ahead, beloved.
He has power over the forces of nature. He says, step back, son, and let these winds blow on the slain of God. And when the wind blew on the slain of God, Ezekiel saw them flesh coming on them. They came and stood up as an exceedingly great army. The minister said, one out of every 100 will change their life by teaching alone. But the other 99, unfortunately, after hearing the message, they'll rattle, but they won't be together. So God will have to bring the winds for that dreadful punishment that the prophets of God, like John, he saw that punishment in Revelation on the Isle of Patmos. It was so painful to his mind, he fainted. He couldn't take it. What we would have to endure because of our rebellion to the man of God. And as God told Ezekiel, and I close, Ezekiel, they wouldn't even hear me. The Lord said this. He said, they're not going to hear you, but deliver the message anyway so you can deliver your soul. So that's all I want to say, and I turn it back to my wonderful, wonderful brother who is, he led me in the ministry. I was his captain, and I watched him for many years as a wonderful example to me. And I thank Allah for giving me such a wonderful example that represented the Honorable Minister Farrakhan, in my humble opinion, so beautifully. And I will never forget the wonderful example of our student minister, Brother James Muhammad, that great preacher of freedom, justice, and peace. Thank you, Brother James, for allowing me to say these few words.
Thank you, Brother Stanley. And I must say that in my watch, which spanned about, I guess about 17 years as a student in the ministry in Tampa, over the city, you were by far the most outstanding captain that this city has seen.
Praise be to Allah. Thank you, sir.
Praise be to Allah.
Brother James, before you continue, I wanted you to know that we have a question on the line, and Brother Reginald Wynn has also joined us. So I wanted to give him an opportunity to present himself. Of course, he's someone else who needs no introduction.
Assalamualaikum.
Assalamualaikum. Assalamualaikum, Brother Reginald.
How is everybody doing? How you doing, brothers, Minister Stanley and Brother James? How is it going for you tonight?
All praises be to Allah.
Of course, I thank Queen Aziz again for inviting me on. I had no idea that it was going to be live because I don't never want to miss any spiritual food that comes through the Nation Building Movement or any other way that it comes, but definitely not through the Nation Building Movement. And when I seen the two speakers on the panelists, I said it's a must that I tune in because wisdom is going to be floating everywhere. So it's good. It's good to be a part. You know, what a joy it is to be alive once again. And once again, happy Savior's Day 2014 to you all.
Happy Savior's Day, beloved.
And in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that he appeared in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, the great Mahdi. And I further bear witness that he raised from among us the exalted Christ, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, to lead, teach, and guide us to and back to the path of righteousness, morality, from a dead state, spiritually, physically even, and mentally and morally. And I further bear witness that he taught and he has left us, as you all were saying, so magnificent. He left us a divine warner, a divine leader, a divine teacher and guide, and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And in their names that I greet you all once again in the greeting words of peace and paradise. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
And if I just might add, you know, I was going, you know, just doing some serious meditating and studying, and the subject came up and quite clear that's what it is tonight on who actually is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and I missed. And he carries so many attributes of so many, many messages, servants, and prophets in the Bible and in the Holy Quran, starting all the way with Adam, the Khalifa, and also the Vicegerent for us. He is Aaron to Moses. He is Ezekiel. He is the Son of Man. He is David the Psalmist. He is the wisest man among us right now, which gives him attributes of Solomon. He is John the Baptist, except he's baptizing us with fiery words to help quicken our spirit. He is Jesus. He is now starting the and more he's beginning to say, I am. I am. He's the I am now. He's letting you know who he is. He's not, you know, leaving it up for us to guess. Now, because before we knew his works. We knew his works spoke for his action. So he's now saying, I am. I am, I am, and he is all that he say he is. And he doing in 1995, he proved that he can bring a multitude of men in one location. And like he said, he went in riding on the backs of the masses of the black people, like Jesus rolled into town on the back of an ass. Excuse the term, but that's exactly what he did. And so the minister fits all of these descriptions, and we can't just keep him in the box. He's outstanding. I wasn't around for Master Farah Muhammad. I wasn't around for when Honorable Elijah Muhammad was teaching, but I was blessed to be alive during the great time to see God in person, where I can say, God is not a spook. I see the works. When I see him, I see the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. When I see Minister Louis Farrakhan, I see Master Farah Muhammad. He's an all-encompass of all of those men, and he is the spirit of truth. He is saving us from this damnation and judgment that Almighty God Allah is going to put and whoop us into. Like the Honorable Elijah Muhammad say, Neem, don't worry about submitting. Don't worry about the people submitting, because Allah is going to whoop us into submission. And that's exactly what's going on right now. And we have a divine reminder and a mercy in our midst, and that is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So like I said, it is just a joy to be alive, and I'm so happy. I'm so happy to be a helper in this great ministry of saving our people. And also, Brother Stanley Muhammad, you may not have remembered me, but I also grew up in the Tampa City Study Group. That's where I first experienced, you know, being a part of the nation. And I remember you as captain. And Brother James was also my minister, my first minister. So I think it's just not a coincidence, but a purpose that, you know, the Tampa or ex-Tampans are representing tonight. And from there, I'm just going to sit back. I'm going to eat all of this wisdom, all of this spiritual food, and I'm going to enjoy what God, Almighty God, Allah has blessed us with, and you two great men. And once again, also, thank you too, again, for inviting me, Sister Queen Aziza. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam. Wow. Okay. Well, Brother James, are you ready to take questions? Brother James?
Oh, I'm sorry, dear sister. Yes, I am. By Allah's grace and mercy, and I'm sure our beloved Brother Student Minister Stanley Muhammad is as well.
Okay. All right. So we're going to start with area code 404. Brother Eugenio, my beloved nephew, your mic is live.
As-salamu alaykum to everyone.
Wa-alaikum.
Yes, happy Savior's Day to everyone here.
Happy Savior's Day,
Happy Savior's Day.
You know, this this is such an emotional topic that we're touching on, and I have the exact people to really educate me in moving forward. One of the things that I touched from Saturday's lecture is that the national representative is really, as he stated, he's washing his hands now. And he is free now because he has delivered that message to the people. And now it's upon us. Now we take that baton from this great messenger, this Jesus figure in our midst. We are now charged with a new duty, or a duty that was already granted upon us once we, you know, came into this knowledge, is to teach the people. And one of the things that I am struggling with, or it's really I'm fighting with, I shouldn't say fight, but one of the things that is this, that is something that does keep me up is that a lot of times I believe I'm speaking plain English, but I'm not always reaching our people. And I have expressed this to my auntie, and she has mentioned this many, many times to me as well as on Blog Talk Radio, that we're not going to always save everybody. We just won't. And one of the things that get me is that the people who I most want to save is my family. And I find so often that some members of my family have turned from me because they hear me speaking, saying that, oh, Eugenio said Jesus is black. And it can be hurtful when you have grown up with these people, these aunties, these uncles, and even cousins and siblings, when they start to look at you funny. When before they will allow you in your house and they would take your phone call, but now your call goes to voicemail, or we're not available this weekend. And this world, sadly, has a grip on so many of our people to the point where they're so distracted that when the person who does love them and want to help them, they can't see them, they can't hear them. And it is a bitter pill that I'm seeming to have to swallow. But one of the things that Allah did show to me, because Brother Reginald has stated to me, is that you go and you preach to those who are preachable, those who want to hear the teaching, and teach it in the way that Allah has instructed you to do it, but still it goes towards the teaching, the message. And that's what I still do. But what is it? I know the minister mentioned about the scorpions, how our people are poisoned, and how you can't blame the clay, you blame the potter. But what is it about our people that we just, some of them, how is it some of them just can't wake up, or they just can't come to that realization as easy, I won't say as easy as it was for me, but I remember when I heard him, it entered me And when I heard and I saw Farrakhan on YouTube, that was my introduction to him 3 years ago. And when I heard it, it activated something within me, and it woke me up. But why is that? And I asked the entire panel, what is that? That what is preventing? I know we've been turned completely into our enemy, but what is it, dear beloved, that's preventing so many of our people from just not hearing that message or accepting messengers that come before them to just try to save their life? And that, I'll stop there. Thank you for taking my call.
You're very welcome, Brother Eugenio. It's always wonderful to hear your voice and to receive your contribution to the discussion. Dear brother, I understand that it is difficult to watch and to experience those whom we love reject a message that we now know has given us life and would also give them life. But remember, dear brother, the scriptures we read on the outstart of the show from Ezekiel, specifically chapter 2, wherein it states, "And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me." Now, I want you to put yourself in this prophetic picture, dear brother Eugenio. "And he said unto me, Son of man," or Eugenio, "I send thee to the children of Israel," which, or of whom your family are members, "to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me even unto this very day. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And Eugenio, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall they know that there hath been a prophet, Eugenio, among them. Thou, son of man, Eugenio, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee. And thou dost dwell among scorpions, be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed, Eugenio, at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee, Eugenio, be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. And when I looked, behold, an hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without. And there was written therein lamentations and mournings and woe. He continues, "For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and a hard language, but to the house of Israel, not to many people of strange speech and of an hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee." I am sure, Brother Eugenio, that if you bring that same message to those who are not necessarily your family, biological family, and therefore are not or do not have that emotional tie, I'm sure that many of them, or at least some of them, will hearken unto you. But the house of Israel, your family, will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, as I close, Yuhenyo, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. As an adamant harder than flint have I made that forehead. It means, don't give up. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, Yuhenyo, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart and hear with thine ears, and go get thee to them of the captivity unto the children of Israel. You are talking to a captive people. The Bible calls them legal captives, and in captivity, those who are captured adopt the ways of the captor. So you are sent to them, dear brother, and speak unto them and tell them, thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, that is not your affair, brother Yuhenyo. Your affair is but to deliver a clear message. And so I hope and pray, dear brother, that as emotionally hurting your experience is, take comfort in the guidance given to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in these scriptural words, because they're guidance for you as well as us all, for us all who are desirous of raising or helping the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to raise a dead people. And finally, where there is life, there is hope. Allah God wastes nothing. And by virtue of the fact that your family members and mine and others are still alive, there yet is hope that one day they will hear the word and it will strike their minds in such way that it will incline them toward acceptance and belief in that word. Be patient, dear brother. Be patient. And Jesus said in John, the 13th verse, the 34th verse, and before the minister referred us to that scripture, he told us, he said, dear ministers, with all that you know, you still cannot transform human life. Yet on that wheel will come a command, or from that wheel will come a command. And he referred us to John, the 13th chapter, the 34th verse. I thought it was going to be some deep, deep, mysterious wisdom. But look at what it said. The Jesus said, a new commandment I leave you. Love ye one another, even as I have loved you. And brother Eugenio, if your love for your family is as the love of the Christ and the love of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan for you, for me, and Brother Stanley, and all of us and our family, you will bring them by the grace of Allah to redemption and be able with this new commandment to transform their lives. Thank you for your comments, your heartfelt comments, and your question, dear brother. May Allah continue to bless you as I turn the mic over to Brother Stanley for whatever you'd like to share with our brother in the way of guidance and encouragement. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Well, I would say this. You know, when I first heard the teaching to the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, it was through a book called Malcolm X Speaks. And I was real fond of Malcolm. And this was when Malcolm was a follower of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And I was just so in love with these teachings and in love with Malcolm. But I heard that the nation killed Malcolm. And one brother I met, FOI, he was soldiering, and I challenged him on it. And he was not able to defend the teachings and defend the truth. So I kept that belief in my heart. Then I going to school with a brother who grew up in the nation. And I was without a job and my girlfriend pregnant. And he saw me with the final call. And he said, hey, brother, you know, you a follower of Honorable Mrs. Farrakhan? I said, nah, they killed Malcolm. This brother was so knowledgeable, but so calm, so in control of his spirit and his words, that he convinced me that the U.S. government killed Malcolm. And not only that, he became my friend, and he was a brother to me, and he helped me get a job at the bank where he worked at. See, it's time for us to teach by example. That's the first thing, the first step. We have to show our people love.
That's right.
Teach it first, but demonstrate Islam in our actions, that we want for our brother and sister what we want for ourselves. That's the anesthesia before the surgery. Because it's painful to our people to realize that all their life they believed in this Christian teachings, and you're going to come and cut them up without surgery, without putting anesthesia, or I'm going to come and cut them up without giving anesthesia. I did that when I first joined. So if you look at, brother, and I'm not saying you're doing this, my brother, I'm just sharing with you my personal testimony. There was someone who was able to articulate the teachings from the scripture standpoint, and another brother who was not studious and wise enough to learn how to get me to see the light. The first brother I ran into, he kept me in darkness because he was ill-prepared. So if you read the scriptures, let me give you something I want you to look at. And you read Jeremiah 18 and 19, and this is going to be a portrait of all the prophets of God. Jeremiah was told by God, I want you to go to a potter and purchase a potter's clay. Then I want you to take some elders with you and go to the gate of the rulers and deliver my message to them. And then tell them that if they don't listen to you, take that pot that you got from the potter and break it and say, this is what God going to do to you. You know what they did to Jeremiah? They beat the hell out of him and locked him up. prophets of God, brother, they spoke in part and they only saw in part. Their language was not the perfect expression of God's language. They only was able to deliver a message from their limited understanding. They did not put the anesthesia in the message. They called the rulers to come after them and beat them and kill them. But when God comes, he gives us a full view. He brings us out of the language of the prophets. That's why they call Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, the seal of the prophets, not just the seal of he's the last prophet to appear, but the seal of that expression of seeing in part and prophesying in part, because after him comes God himself. So I give you this last picture, brother. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane in the book of Matthew 26, and the soldiers came and grabbed him, Peter pulled his sword and cut the ear off of the soldier. But Jesus healed the man's ear. This is an allegorical picture. The Honorable Mrs. Farrakhan answered in a tweet saying that what the problem was, Peter actually did not express Jesus' teaching properly, which caused the man to turn a deaf ear to Peter. But when Jesus spoke, he put his ear back on and he listened to Jesus. The sword is like the tongue. It's sharp on both sides and pointy at the tip. So we have to make sure we read the supreme wisdom, refrain from baby language or immature expression of the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And we must study the minister's way.
That's right.
And the way we begin to not be like the Tower of Babel, that the people are confused by our speech, that we start with reciting and memorizing the question and answer of Mr. Elijah Muhammad as a baby. That's how we begin. But we begin to parse it and grow and evolve. And we learn how to speak the tongue of angels. So our ability to speak well is the measuring rod of our success. And the supreme wisdom of Islam that Master Farag Muhammad gave us, he said, no man will be successful unless he does speak well. That's what I would say to that, my dear brother. That is the other side of what Brother James was saying. There's a flip side to it. There's two sides to a coin. That's the other side.
So, Brother Eugenio, did that suffice for you? Brother Eugenio?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm sorry, we can't hear you. Speak up a little bit.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yes. One of the things I'm so thankful for all the words and the advice and the teaching from both Brother Stanley and Brother James, one of the things that that I have been working on is speaking not only better, but using, as Brother Stanley, I mean, that Brother Reginald had told me, was that use what God has innately given to me in order to reach the people. And sometimes you have to find that one thing that you're very good at or you specialize in. It's almost like God has given you your own master key. And so that master key that I'm still working and studying on is art, is perfecting that talent that he has given to me. And one of the good things that I can say is that though I struggle with my family and people my age in the 30s, I actually have much success when it comes to the youth. And so that is truly a blessing, because just for me, I feel like a youth when I am given this information, and it brightens me up, it cheers me up, it gets me running and going. And a lot of times I come across youth who are a lot of adolescents and even children, where they're looking for answers. They're tired of what the educational system is giving them. But then when I've come to still explain their mathematics with art, when I can explain their sciences through art, then they can get it. So I just found a different way of still reaching. No, I'm still working on my family, but one thing that Allah has showed me is that the children and the adolescents are receptive to what the talent that Allah has given me, and that's what I'm using to help our youth, our children, our adolescents, and all praise is due to Allah for that.
Yeah. Yes, sir. And thank you, Brother Eugenio, for being so open and sharing with us. And we're going to have to move on and take another question. We don't want to keep the people holding, but may Allah continue to bless you in that effort, dear brother. And you know your auntie is right here. I love you much, and you just call me when you need me. Okay?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Assalamu alaikum. Okay. Area code 703. Your mic is now live. Area code 703. One more time. Area code 703. Your mic is now live. Okay. All right, let's take a question from the chat room from Denise. Denise says, why did we title this show The Final Warning? Anybody? Everybody?
Yes. Yes, ma'am. Thank you,
Brother
Sister
James
Denise.
Did it. I didn't do it, sis.
Yes, ma'am. In fact, I've already confessed to doing so.
But
one of the excerpts from the minister's message on Saturday inspired me to refer to this, to the theme of this show, as the final warning. And now I will repeat that excerpt. Many of you who have been listening, before I repeat the excerpt, many of you who have been listening to us on these wonderful airways, and we refer to the wheel, the manifestation of the presence of God, and, of course, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's clear distillation of the reality of the wheel and its purpose. One of the statements I made or observations that I had was that the enemy knew that the full manifestation of the reality of the will would take place. So whenever the enemy knows that a truth is going to imminently be revealed and he can't stop the revelation of it, what he then does is begin to use every resource in his power to manage the perception of that truth that is going to be revealed And so you have a plethora of movies and books and TV shows regarding UFOs, so that when the people see it, they'll see it through the lens that the enemy has given them. And so the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, close to the end of his broadcast last Saturday, he used one of these movies entitled The Day the Earth Stood Still. And he took excerpts from the words of the main character, one who came from the wheel. The character's name was Klaatu. This movie aired for the first time September 28, 1951. And these are the words that the minister excerpted. We come to visit you in peace and with goodwill. I'm leaving soon. These are the words of the main character, Klaatu. I'm leaving soon, and you will forgive me if I speak bluntly. The universe grows smaller every day, and the threat of aggression by any group anywhere can no longer be tolerated. There must be security for all, or no one is secure. This is Klaatu speaking to the leaders, presidents, and ministers of the entire world and all of the scientists gathered at that location. He continues, now this does not mean giving up any freedom except the freedom to act irresponsibly. Your ancestors knew this when they made laws to govern themselves and hired policemen to enforce laws. We of other planets have long accepted this principle. We have an organization for the mutual protection of all planets and for the complete elimination of aggression. The test of any such higher authority is, of course, the police force that supports it. For our policemen, we created these wheels. Insert the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's word. Their function is to patrol the planets in spaceships like this one, to preserve the peace. In matters of aggression, we have given them absolute power. This power cannot be revoked. At the first sign of violence, they act automatically against the aggressor. The penalty for provoking their action is too terrible to risk. The result is we live in peace without arms or armies, secure in the knowledge that we are free from aggression and war, free to pursue more profitable enterprises. Of ours, he concludes, will be reduced to a burnt-out cinder. Your choice is simple. Join the Nation of Islam and live in peace, or pursue your present course and face obliteration. We shall be waiting for your answer. The decision rests with you. This, in these words, was a delivery of the final warning. These wheels that are above our head are capable of obliterating all of those who will not submit to the master and God of the wheel. That master and God of the wheel is the master and Lord of the universe, Master Farad Muhammad and his Christ, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. And so after I listened to that excerpt, I wasn't inspired to call this or to theme this particular show the final warning, because it is, in fact, the final warning. Those wheels have the capability of reducing this planet to a burnt-out cinder. However, America in the focal point. America is in the focus of this great power. And America can determine whether she and the rest of the world will be saved or face complete and utter obliteration. The scripture says, yea, the day cometh, the day cometh, when the earth shall burn as an oven, and all those, yea, all the wicked, all they that do evil shall be as stubble. And he, meaning the God of the wheel, the God of the universe, Master Farad Muhammad and his Christ, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, will leave them neither root nor branch, meaning that they won't have anything with which to return. It is the complete and utter destruction. So the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and those of us who repeat his warning and re-trumpet the final call, we say the same thing. Join the Nation of Islam and live in peace, or pursue your present course and face obliteration. We shall be waiting for your answer. The decision rests with you. And that's why I was inspired to call the theme of this show the final warning. Thank you, dear Sister Denise, for your question. Brother Stanley?
Well, I believe it's a very, very beautiful answer that you gave, Brother James. I would simply say that we are in the final hour, and that's why we have the newspaper called The Final Call. You know, when you're in the airport, they say final call boarding airline 566 or airplane 546. You better run to that plane you miss that flight. Same thing with a train. When they say final call, the door is about to close. And the final call, the final warning, is a period of time that we are in right now. We don't have long to be in the whorehouse. We don't have long to be in the crack house. We don't have long to be in the bar. We don't have long to do the wickedness that we are doing as a people. Allah's mercy has a time limit. And after we have not became grateful for his mercy, then punishment follows after mercy and warning. And that's what I would say to that.
Thank you, Brother Stanley. Thank you so much, dear brother.
Okay, we have a question from Brother Kenneth. And Brother Kenneth wanted to know, okay, here we go. What is the evidence that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is a savior of our people? Here we go, y'all. Let me put my seatbelt on.
Dear brother, you're listening to the evidence. You know, we weren't always like what you hear tonight. And I'll just go right to the heart of what I'm saying. We are those who were in the crack house. We are those who were in the bars. We are those who were in the whorehouses. We are those who were absolutely slain from the foundation of the earth. No one could redeem us. not our wives, not our mothers, not our fathers, not our children, for all of their love and care and concern they couldn't. It was the word coming from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan of the teachings, the life-giving, life-restoring word of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. It was that
saved
me. So I am evidence that he's the Savior. And then there are hundreds of thousands and more of others who can make the same testimony. What a magnificent Savior. And I'll stop right there. Let Brother Stanley come on in, brother.
Yeah, dear, after Brother Stanley, I'm coming in.
Well, I know you're coming in on this one, Queen. I know that's right.
Well, look, Brother Kenneth, I would say this. In the book of John, chapter 9, is titled, Jesus Heals a Man Blind from Birth. And it says, starting with the first verse, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh, when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he said, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay, and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, and said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thy eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes. He said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. Now, Brother Kenneth, here Jesus saw a man born blind at birth. We as black people were born blind at birth. We don't see who we are. We say we're Negro. Then someone said, no, we African-American. Then someone say, no, we Afro-American. You have all this confusion. And then the one speaking, they walking around with the white man's slave master's name. Mr. Fox, Mr. Fish, Mr. Wood, Mr. Bush, Mr. Washington, Mr. Williams. These are names from our former slave master. Now, how does a Chinese man look? Walk around saying, my name is John Williams. You would laugh at a Chinese man like that because his name should be Lu Chen or something, right? We are blind, not physical blind, but we are spiritually and mentally blind to the knowledge of ourselves, the knowledge of our God, the knowledge of the heavenly home. We are the only people who depend on our enemy to do for us what we can do for ourselves. We go to his grocery store. We go to his hospital when we get sick. We go to his schools. Everything, his clothes, everything we have is his. But we make $1.1 trillion last year. But we can't even produce toilet paper. We can't even produce sanitary napkins for our women. So here is showing you that we are blind. And blindness is because there is light have been deprived to go in the eyes of the retina that will allow you to see. Blindness is a deprivation of light. And light represents truth. And here's a man named Farrakhan. When I was an alcoholic on the way to the liquor store, I ran into a brother who was raised by the most honorable Elijah Muhammad and honorable minister was Farrakhan. And he gave me a tape of Minister Farrakhan, Madison Square Garden, 1985. Now, brother Kenneth, mind you, my girlfriend pregnant, living with my mama. I don't have any job. I don't have a job. I'm doing that which is illegal, trying to provide for my family or my growing family. But I'm unhappy. I'm broken inside. See? But when I got that tape, I went home and I listened to a man who was a modern Jesus. And he spoke, the spittle that we read about is the word of God. And I began to see who I am. And then he told us to go to the pool of Siloam, which is the house of God established by the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, and wash. And when I went to the mosque, the word from the honorable minister Farrakhan, wash me from alcoholism. Wash me from selling drugs. Wash me from disrespecting my women. Wash me from irresponsibility. This is a man named Farrakhan. He saved us from our sins. And when you open the book of Matthew, it says, and Jesus will save his people from their sins. And that's why I call Mr. Farrakhan my son. And he saved me. And he saved all of us on this phone from our sins. Thank you so much for your question.
Yes, sir. And you know, and thank you, Brother Stanley and Brother James, from coming from such a spiritual place. And let me take you to a historical place. You know, before the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, black people in America, in particular, could not be proud of being black. Not to say that they were not proud, but they could not publicly be proud of being black.
That's right.
You could not walk around the name Muhammad, Jamal, Jamil, Khalifa, Rashid. You didn't even have the control to even name your own children.
Mm-hmm.
So everything that you identify with as being black culture, being black history. As we used to say coming up, our history was a mystery before Elisha came. So everything that you dwell in and call it your own is only your own because a God came to his people. Here we have preachers, especially in the South, a church on every corner. and they can't even fill up their congregation. They can't even fill up their churches. But a man whose name is Farrakhan called for a million-man march.
That's right.
And most of the people that came titled themselves as Christians. Why is that? Well, maybe it's because the same reason that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was able to identify Master Farah Muhammad, because they were pure at heart in their desire to know God.
More.
And so through that purity, they heard a voice.
That's right.
And they came from all over the world. They came. I met brothers from Panama. I met brothers from far southern Africa, far eastern Africa. I met brothers from Australia. I met brothers from all over the world to come here, just one man. And so you ask, how do we know? Because we are witnesses to the fact.
That's
and we
right.
have witnessed his evolution, and we have witnessed his power, because they have assassinated every other black leader. And here, Minister Farrakhan, 80 years old, still soldiering, still preaching, still teaching, still standing in our midst. And everyone else is gone. Why? Why? Maybe it's because, not maybe, actually it's because he's protected and guarded by a power that no power on this earth can conquer. If they wanted to assassinate Minister Farrakhan or hang him or torture him or whatever, they could have easily done that. But what is holding their hands? It's a divine power that they're trying to keep hidden from you. And here you have your preachers. And I don't mean to be, you know, getting on nobody's religion, but you have your preachers preaching the same religion that they used to enslave you, and that's why you're still enslaved.
That's right.
So, brother, when you ask how do we know, is because we have stood with him and we have watched the evolution thereof. And let's just take it to the street a little bit. Who better at game than black people?
Go ahead.
Well, if it was all about game, we would have peaked it a long time ago.
Long time ago.
But here he is, 54 years on his post.
That's right.
And we have identified the fact that there is no game. It's all very
genuine. That's
right.
That's right.
So that's my answer, my response. Thank you.
Thank you. Sister Queen, may I just fish back on what you said? It was beautiful.
Yes, sir.
Isaiah 43:10 says, "Ye are my witnesses."
Come on, Brother Stanley.
See, when someone lied on, when you're in court, a credible witness can vindicate you.
Yes,
see, Farrakhan has been lied on by our open enemy to black people. He's an anti-Semite. He's a hater. He's a bigot. That's a lie. Because we are witnesses on the phone that he is amazing grace who saved wretches like us.
That's right.
We were lost in the lies, but we have been found by him.
Come on, Brother Stanley.
I can't tell you what he done for other people, Brother Kid, but I can tell you what he done for me.
Come on, teach.
See?
Yes, sir.
I went to church and me and my girlfriend, now my wife, for 23 years, April make 24. With the church, we want to be saved. We don't want to be burned with the devil. We live in a life of sin. But I had not the power to stop drinking. I went to 3 different churches, so. And we said, we're going to give our life. But as soon as I left that church parking lot, I started drinking again. But after hearing that man, the voice of God,
that's right,
that was crying in the wilderness of North America, by hearing his voice, I had the power to put down the alcohol. I had the power to be a man in my house again. The white man don't want that. He want to still see you at his foot. So I say this in closing. I'm going to give you a scripture. In Matthew's chapter 16, Jesus was with his disciples. And Jesus was curious, and he said, who do they people say I am? And they were saying, they said, you're Jeremiah, the prophet, you're this, and you're the prophet, and you're this. And so Jesus brought it all home to his own followers. Who do you say I am? And then Peter, his chief disciple, said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now this is
come
on. The first time that anyone called Jesus Christ. Peter, he peeped and God shared with him the true identity of this man that was in their midst. And listen to what Jesus said. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church or kingdom, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Now, here we read the Bible, and we bear witness that the white man is Satan, particularly who really wears the garment of the dragon is the Pope, who is the head of all Christendom. And Satan is a arch deceiver, because when you read Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, it says the serpent that deceiveth the whole world. Now, Brother Kenneth, you have to ask, are you in the world? And if you are, is it possible you are deceived, or I'm deceived, or the world is deceived? The most honorable Elijah Muhammad said he had deceived 90% of the world. Now, what is his greatest deception? Satan's greatest deception is the man that will be born to actually destroy his world and uproot his kingdom and produce a kingdom that will never decay and that will last forever and wipe away all of our tears and all of our pain.
Come on, Brother Stanley.
Will be no more. He will make all things new. This is the greatest deception of Satan about this man, Jesus, but this man, Peter, had peeped him. So Jesus now says, don't tell no one that I'm the Christ, because Satan will know you, Peter, and he will destroy you before you're strong enough to stand on this truth. Because God has showed Peter. Listen to me good. God has showed Peter what Satan has kept secret and has deceived the people for 6,000 years. And that is the key to our salvation, knowing Christ, knowing who he is. That is the key to our salvation. How do we know Farrakhan the Savior? I'm about to bring it home.
Come on, because Brother Stanley.
Because for us to be looking 2,000 years in the past, looking for Jesus back then. He wasn't the Christ. He was a prophet. His world was overcome. They killed that fella, but he was a sign of the man that would be born 2,000 years after he is dead. And you read Revelation, Matthew chapter 24, and Jesus prophesies of the end of this world, of Satan's world, and he said, not one generation shall pass before you see these calamities. Well, how many generations have passed since Jesus been gone? A generation is 20 years. Several generations have passed. So it could not be talking about that man back then, who was the last prophet sent to the Jews. It's talking about a man right now who's actually in a controversy with the Jews, and he is defeating them by the power of God and his Christ. Now, let me just share this with you. The Honorable Minister was Farrakhan as a young student minister for the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He saw the identity of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. The messenger, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, told him, he said, brother, do you know what it means by Jesus in the book of Matthew chapter 4, fasting for 40 days and 40 nights?
Come on, brother.
Said, no, sir, dear Holy Apostle. That was a good answer. He said, that means it took Jesus 40 years, nearly 40 years, to get one convert. And the minister, being a wise student, he thought when he said that, well, the historical Jesus, some scholars say 33 years, some say 36 years, but it wasn't 40 years.
That's right.
So, after that, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said to Minister Farrakhan, brother, I have been waiting for you for 38 years. At that point, the minister began to see this man, Elijah Muhammad, is the Christ. And he wrote a letter, he dictated to his secretary about him being Christ, and he sent it to him. That is the fulfillment of Matthew 16 called Peter's confession. That's what you're seeing. But you don't see that black people are in the book, because if you still walk around with the white man's name, you can never see value in black people. You can never see value in yourself if you don't know yourself. So here's a brother who is a black man raised among you, who is the Christ, Elijah Muhammad. And I'm about to close with this. So here, the messenger, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, goes away, and the minister's faith fell and left him. As Jesus told Peter when he said, thou the Christ, he said, Simon bar Jonah. It was strange to say that Jonah was one who did what? His faith lost. And when God called him, he ran from his mission. For 3 days he was in the well, or the belly of the beast. And for 3 years, Minister Farrakhan lost his faith. But Jonah's faith was restored. And Jesus told Peter that he must suffer certain things. And he said, and all of you will leave me. And then Peter said, I will never leave you. He said, Peter, before the cock crows once, you will deny me 3 times. But he said that your faith will be restored. So here, Minister Farrakhan fell, his faith was restored, but he was the foundation, and he is the foundation of the kingdom of God, because remember, Jesus, or the most honored Elijah Muhammad, pointed to Peter and said, on this rock, you know what rock means? Rock comes from the word Peter, and Peter comes from the word petrol, and petrol is oil. And if you can extract the oil from this rock called Farrakhan and light up your life, that light can come into your spiritual retina, that you can see this man properly. See, as our salvation is black people, you got to extract the oil. Don't sit on the rock, sit around the rock, extract oil from this modern Peter who transitioned to Jesus. I'm going to just share this with you, and I'm closing out with this. He is the foundation of the kingdom of God, and this Savior's Day, he's going to teach on how strong is our foundation when we survive. He is God's foundation. And if you read 1 Peter chapter 2, it speaks about this precious stone, this chief cornerstone, elect and precious, he that believed on him, this is Farrakhan, shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made in the head of the cornerstone, and he's a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. So he is a stone of stumbling. You stumble over his identity because of self-hatred. He's offensive to you when you say he is, when we you hear say he is the vicar of Christ, or he is modern Peter, but he is now the Jesus, because if Jesus leaves, Peter becomes in the seat of Jesus. Because what Jesus was, Peter is. Jesus was the Messiah among us. And if you read Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, it speaks about one likened to the Son of Man.
Come on.
And God had given him the keys to hell and death, as God, Jesus has given Peter the keys to heaven. This man, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, says, Farrakhan, I have laid the key. Key to what? Key to our salvation. That's why he's our Savior. That's why he is a deliverer. And if you read the Bible and the last revelation, it says that certain people won't be saved. What does it say? The fearful. Revelation 21, verse 7. I mean, verse 8. The unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Farrakhan saved us from all these satanic attributes. And he is blessing us to partake in the New Jerusalem, to be a part of the New Jerusalem that comes down from heaven. We are his witnesses. That's how we know he is a Savior. Thank you for allowing me to speak this long, Sister Queen, Brother Jane, but that was on my heart, and I pray to Allah to take up too much time on this radio broadcast or this wonderful blog radio show. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Stanley.
Thank you.
I knew that your testimony would be magnificent, brother, and a great witness bearer to the truth of the saving grace found in and of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And I'm indebted to you, brother, grateful to you. I wanted to hear your testimony, and time was not a factor at all. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you both.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
sir. Okay, well, Brother James, we over time, as usual.
As usual.
So, are there any last statements that you want to share with us before closing?
Yes, I would like to reiterate how profoundly thankful to Almighty God Allah I am, and I'm sure we are, for preserving our beloved brother and healing our beloved brother, Jihad Muhammad. And, dear brother, if you are listening, if your family is listening, we want you to know how valuable you are to us. And we thank Allah for your mother, your father. We thank Allah for your supportive, wonderful wife and family. I know they were all contributing factors to your miraculous healing and restoration. And we, with great confidence and joy, dear brother, look forward to your speedy return to these airways on this magnificent show out on the front line with the FOI. Thank you, Brother Jihad. Thank you, your dear mother and father. And thank you, your dear, wonderful, and supportive wife and family. We look forward to hearing from you soon. May Allah continue to bless you, dear brother. May Allah continue through you to bless us all. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Sir.
That's my closing statement.
And to the Minister Stanley?
Yes, I really want to thank Allah for you, sister, for making these wonderful airwaves, airwaves that will purify the toxin in the airwaves. You know, there's so much evil and debauchery going on through these airwaves, and Satan have polluted them. And whether you know it or not, Sister Queen, you are making war with the beast.
That's right.
You are wounding that beast's head. And wounding his head, meaning you're wounding his theology of lies and deceit and trickery. Not one day, not 2 days, not 3 days, but 7 days a week, because the enemy is pumping evil and filth 7 days a week.
Yes, sir.
And you don't get tired in soldiering for the Christ who you love and the vicar of Christ, all the ministers, Farrakhan, who you love, and black people who you love. And I thank Allah for you, because I know Brother Jihad. I know him for many years. He's right here in Atlanta, and we had intimate conversations. And you know, Sister Brother Jihad, if he's listening, he would bear witness. He didn't have a platform to teach. You gave him a platform. And he would light Jeremiah, fire would shut up in his bones.
That's right.
But you gave him a way he can express that fiery spirit of Islam to the world. You are unwrapping the unwrapped gifts of the Nation of Islam.
That's right.
And you're giving presents and gifts to the world, Sister Queen. And we thank Allah for you. And if I can hear Brother Jihad speak, I know he would not talk about his own works. He would talk about you. Because you can't have no FOI without MGT.
That's right.
It's MGT that produced FOI. No man who produced himself. You have produced this show for Brother Jihad. And we are grateful to you for allowing that brother to experience heaven. Because he's born to preach the word of God.
Yes, sir, he is.
He is. That brother, he loves preaching. And he's a soldier.
He does. Yes.
And I want to tell you, Brother Jahan, you can hear my voice. Brother, you still live on soldiering through us.
That's right.
I know that you right now are not physically able to do what you're doing. But Brother James loves you so much.
That's right, brother.
Your show, in your name, and I know you both, he has your spirit, and he has your love. So don't worry about who put the stars out in the universe. What God did this, what God did that. They all did it in the name of Allah. So don't
mess. That's right.
So we're doing this show in your name, in the name of Allah. If any Muslim hears you doing something in the name of Allah, well, that's my name.
That's right.
Allah means all
yes,
Muslims.
Sir.
All
that's
Muslims
right.
Know Allah. All Muslims who surrender their will to do God's will, create the will of God. I thank Allah for you, Brother Jahan, and we pray for you and your family. And we know that the prayer of the righteous availeth much. And you know you're in God's hands, Allah's hands. And I heard the minister say this, and I close with this. Allah is not going to allow you to go nowhere until he's finished with you. You ain't going nowhere.
That's right.
That's right.
If he got more work for you to do, you gonna be here for sure.
That's right.
If you got utility, you gonna be here for sure. Farrakhan went to this door 3 times, but God said, no, I got some use for him. He got to do time and what must be done, part 1 through 58, and then some. He got work for him. And long as we keep the mission on our mind and our mind on our mission, we ain't going nowhere.
That's right.
We can
That's
tell right. Death, like the messenger said, Death, give me your cell phone number. I'll call you when I'm ready.
And so, that's right.
Chapter 15, verse 55 says, Jesus says, "O grave, where's your victory? O death, where's your sting? Death has been swallowed up by victory." And now I just read who got the keys to the death and hell. That's Farrakhan. The Christ gave him the keys. He got the
right.
key. On this man, Elijah Muhammad said, "On Farrakhan have I laid the key." All right, Brother Jahan, we love you. I'm your comrade in the battlefield. I got my boots on. Brother James got his boots on.
That's
and
right.
She sure enough got her boots on.
You know that's right. And check it out, Brother Stanley.
Know.
They watch. They white snake boots.
She got the white snake boots on.
Let me just share this here with y'all. You know, there was a time when, and I love you all so very much. And
love you too.
I'm not going to get
too,
mushy, okay. I promise. But, you know, I thank you for the appreciation, Brother Stanley and Brother James, that you always give to me. But I tell you, when I started this 2 years ago, had it not been for Brother James and Brother Jahan and Brother Vernon and DJ Black Caesar and all who are on the network, Brother Kareem, had it not been for you all, then I would not be anything. We all together, family and Brother Reginald have come along and joined us, and it takes all of us to remind one another of where we need to be and what we need to be doing, and that's one of the reasons why we're on 7 days a week, because the work of Allah never ends. And I'm going to tell you about your sister. Your sister wasn't always the one that would be sitting up trying to teach people about Minister Farrakhan every night.
Go ahead,
I came from a place, and I'm not what I want to be. I'm not perfected yet. I'm certainly not exalted in any way, but every day this serves as a reminder to me of the God that I serve. And it occupies my time because it says that the idle mind is the devil's workshop.
That's right.
So, yes, on any given night, there could I could be anywhere else doing anything else. But nothing gives me more satisfaction than bringing the people to God or just putting God's word out there. They can accept it or reject it. I don't care.
That's right.
But there's no peace like the peace that God gives you. You can lose everything you have.
That's right.
But when Allah gives you peace, it's an unspeakable and unshakable peace. You will pass up everything and anything to hold on to the peace that Allah gives you.
That's
right.
You're able to look in the mirror every night and say, Allah, I gave my best. And I know it's not good enough, but I promise to strive even more tomorrow. And there's a peace that comes over you that Allah appreciates you striving because you have made yourself worthy of this life. Not because of what I've done or how much money I have, because I have reached out to somebody else. Because that is where the work is. That is where the salvation is. What good is it for you as a black man or a black woman to say you made it? How you going to make it and they stringing up your brother next door?
You ain't
made it either.
That's right.
So we all have to constantly, every day, whether it's one soul, two souls, 2,000 souls, we have to put the word out there. Just like the minister said, he's gotten our blood off his hands. Well, don't you think we got blood on our hands?
Come on, Queen.
We have a responsibility to one another. We have a responsibility to our communities, to our families. But we have a responsibility to Allah first and foremost. And that's what we strive to do. None of us are perfect. Lord knows I mess up every day because I know at the end of the day I'll be to cut somebody out.
Come on, please. Yes, ma'am.
I'm just keeping it 100 like I always do. But
you know it.
Allah knows my heart, and he knows I'm striving. And as long as he knows, I don't have to prove nothing to nobody else because nobody else can give me salvation. But as long as at the end of the day, when it's me and Allah in that essence, and I allow him to speak to my spirit, I know what Allah says unto me. And he said, get up and keep going. And don't think that this hasn't gotten tiring. And don't think that I have never thought of giving it up, because I have. But every time I think about that, that thought is quickly removed from me, and that lets me know that Allah has this work for me to do.
Allah Akbar.
And before I defy him, you will find me dead. So I'm going, like Brother Stanley told me today, he said he had been a little under the weather, and I said, well, Brother Stanley, you know, get you some rest. I don't want you to exert yourself. He said, sister, I'm going to die on my post. Well,
that's right.
I'm going to die on my post.
Yes, yes.
I'm going to die right here on this airway. You're just going to hear some silence. And Brother Dave, just carry on.
So, and vice versa, that's how I have to go. That's right.
So that's all I wanted to say. I want to wish everybody a happy Savior's Day, safe travels. Man, this Savior's Day is going to be magnificent and historical
because we are actually going
to see where Master Farah Muhammad came
Come on.
To Detroit. And
that's right.
Came for us. So we're going home to Mecca. And I pray that everyone makes it there safely and really absorb the message from the Honorable Minister Lawrence Farrakhan. So thank you all so much, Brother Stanley. Please give my dear sister Ruth the greetings for me and Brother James, Sister Joanne. I know Brother James gonna get mad at me, but I thank my dear sister for allowing my dear brothers to share this time with us. Because you all have families and you are all so dedicated, and only an MCT could understand the passion that you all have to teach. Thank my sisters who have helped make beautiful, beautiful brothers for us and for Allah. So I know, as manly as you all are, you did not do it by yourself. It took a divine woman with a divine understanding. And so that's why it says that it takes a particular man for a particular woman. And that's why that MGT is designed for that man, because she understands the mission of him what he has to do. So thank you, my dear Sister Queens, for allowing us to borrow your husband. So if nothing else,
I want to thank you, because all day I had a pounding headache, and I was so congested, and, you know, I really was a little bit, you know, exhausted. When I told you to come on the show, and right before the show, I was congested and I had a slight headache. But now I can tell you, I feel so good. Headache gone, congestion is just evaporating. This show has been a healing to me. And I was concerned about going to Detroit with this kind of sickness in the cold, and it gets worse or exacerbated. So I thank Allah for the healing that you offered me on this show. Brother James, hearing your voice and hearing the word, Brother Reginald, your wonderful words, Sister Queen, your words, and just dialoguing on the words of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad as articulated by Honorable Minister Farrakhan, I can bear witness he has healing in his wings.
That's right.
Thank you so much. I feel so much better. All praises are due to Allah.
All praises.
I got
to
say, we love you, Sister Ruth. If you're listening, we certainly love you. All praises are due to Allah. And my dear sister used to feed me when I first came to Florida. And my family was in New York. My dear sister took care of me. All praises due to Allah. And to my wonderful godchildren, Brother Mustafa, Brother Tariq, and all of the rest. I mean, Brother got so many. So many. Brother Stanley.
Beautiful family. Beautiful daughters.
Beautiful
family. Man, I know any brothers come after them girls.
Yeah.
They had to catch it. Woo!
That's right. Yeah, so
yes,
my wife sends you all the greetings.
All praises due to Allah.
See you in Detroit,
inshallah.
That's right. Looking forward to seeing you and the beautiful family.
It's
a wonderful occasion. Just to see the believers is priceless.
That's right.
Okay, well, look, we ran overtime by 23 minutes, so let us all say goodnight. And, you know, let us close out in prayer. Let's pray for safe travel for our believing family and people who will be visiting with us for the first time. And let's just pray for our nation. So, Brother James, you want to close us out in prayer?
Yes, ma'am. It would be my honor and privilege. Please, wherever you are, wherever you are listening, assume the position of prayer with which you are accustomed. Please follow me silently in our Muslims' prayer. I seek refuge in Allah from the accursed Satan. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all the world, the Beneficent, the Merciful, Master of this day of judgment. Thee alone do we worship, and Thee alone do we beseech for aid. Guide us on the right path, the path of those upon whom Thou hast bestowed Thy favor, not the path of those upon whom Thy wrath is brought down, nor of those who go astray. Ameen.
Ameen.
O Allah, we lift up our voice to Thee in the name of Thy exalted Christ, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, that You would, out of Your grace, bless all of us and all of those who are venturing forth to be with Your servant, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, this upcoming weekend for our wonderful Sages Day celebration. Grant us a safe journey, a blessed arrival, and a safe return to our places of abode. We bear witness that Thou art the grantor of our security, and it is to be and Thee alone to whom we fly and seek refuge. O Allah, preserve Your servant. Grant him strength and bless him with the fulfillment of the promise that Thou hast made to him. For he has fought the good fight and has kept the faith. And unto him and for him is laid up a starry crown. We thank You, O Allah, for Your Christ and Your servant, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, and we thank You, Elijah Muhammad, the exalted Christ, for Your fashioning and shaping and preparing one to be Your Messiah, Your Khalifa, and our Savior and Redeemer, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Again, we pray all of this in Your name, the exalted Christ, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. Please grant to us success. Ameen.
Ameen. Allahu Akbar.
Ameen.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
Thank you, Brother
all
Stanley.
Right.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you all. Okay, may Allah bless all of us with the light of understanding as we leave you, as we came before you in our nation's greeting words of peace. As-salamu alaykum. One nation, one love. Good night, y'all.
Salam. Good night.
Thank you, Brother Reggie.